Ezekiel 26. A little bit different of a study tonight. As I mentioned earlier, this is a chapter of predictive prophecy. There are going to be 6 or 7, depending on how you count them, specific prophecies that Ezekiel is going to be mentioning concerning the city of Tyre. The last one, the 6th and 7th one, you can combine together and make it 6, or you can split them up and make it 6 and 7. A little bit of background on Tyre. You can see Tyre there is just to the north of the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Samaria. It was a part of the Phoenician nation. It was a very commercialized city. Very commercialized. It's going to be destroyed. That will be one of the prophecies. And liberally, next week when we get into chapter 27, there's a lamentation for the death of the city of Tyre. And we'll be looking at the economic distress that it caused, which is interesting, just a little bit of chaos that the world will soon survive or soon experience is during the tribulation time when Babylon falls. In Revelation chapter 18, there's an economic Babylon that just the nations of the world are just going to be crying because of the economic turmoil that will be going on. So this is a little bit of foretaste of that. Nonetheless, there's where Tyre is. It was a city along the coastline, but also there was an island city about a half a mile off the coast in the Mediterranean Sea that was also a part of Tyre. Now, we'll need to keep that in mind as we get on down through the prophecy here. Tyre had an interesting relationship with the kingdom of Judah. If you remember, Hiram, who was the king of Tyre, was a friend of David, and he helped Solomon with the building of the temple. So there was a partnership there. They worked quite well together. As time went on, though, they kind of grew apart until Ahab, the king of the northern kingdom, married a woman from Tyre who was the daughter of King Ethbaal. Do you remember who the queen was that Ahab married? Jezebel. Now, when you have a Jezebel as the queen, that's going to make relationships with that country distressed. And later on, the people of Tyre sold the Jews as slaves to the Greeks and the Edomites. You'll read about that in the book of Joel. So it just got continually worse and worse and worse. By the time that Jerusalem is falling, Tyre is just absolutely antagonistic to the people of God. So let's read along here, and we'll just note what the specific prophecies are. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, time frame here is right at the time of Jerusalem's fall. And he's predicting what's going to happen next to Tyre. So it's in the very near future, initially, that it will reach, the prophecies will actually reach unto today. That's how far in advance he goes. Saying, son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She has turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee as the sea causes his waves to come up. First two predictions of the future. In verse 2, we see that Tyrus would be destroyed. And as we get down to verse 7, it specifically says that Nebuchadnezzar, would be the one who would bring destruction to the city of Tyre. It was exalting because Israel, and let's see if I can go back to the where it was situated, was between them and Egypt. And there was a great economic trade relationship between the two countries. And if you had to send goods down to Egypt or get from them, they had to go through Israel. Guess what happened in Israel to increase their coffers? Tariffs. Anything coming through, they had to pay a tariff on. And it was eating into the profits of the Tyrians. Now that Israel is destroyed, hey, they can march right on down. They don't have to pay the tariffs anymore. There's more money in their pockets. They were excited about that. So, God says, you're excited about the fall of my people so that you can make more money? We'll see about that. You will be destroyed. Verse 3, therefore, God says, I am against thee, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sand causes his waves to come up. Prediction number 2, many nations would come against Tyre. And the symbolism here is of the waves crashing along the shore. There's one wave, and then there's another wave, and then there's another wave, and they don't give up as long as time goes on. Be interesting to see how that one works out. Verse 4. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers, and I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Third prediction. Will become flattened and like the top of a rock. Interestingly enough, the word Tyre means a rock. And the destruction was going to be so great that the city would be leveled and as flattened and nothing left but dust. Verse 5. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. So prophecy number 4. Fishermen would spread their nets over the site once the city was destroyed. Verse 6, and her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The daughters would be countries that were affiliated with Tyre. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a ford against thee, and cast a mall up against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. He shall set engines of war against the walls, catapults. And with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and the wheels of the chariots, when he shall enter into thy gates. As men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. With the hoofs of his horses he shall tread down all thy streets, and he shall slay the people by the sword, and they shall, and thy garrisons, strong garrisons, shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, make a prey of thy merchandise. They shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. Prophecy number 5, the debris from the city would be thrown in the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard. Nobody will be rejoicing. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Prophecy number 6, it's never to be rebuilt. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isle shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee. Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. All the nations around them are going to look at this and say, how in the world did that happen? This is just beyond imagination. And they shall take up a lamentation, which is going to be verse chapter 27. For thee, and say to thee, how art thou destroyed, thou that was inhabited of seafaring men? The renowned city which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, the great water shall cover thee. When I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in the places of the desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou shalt not be inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. That's the second part of the sixth one there. It will not be found again. What's interesting here is that Tyre thought, especially those on the island, thought they were beyond any type of invasion. How is an army going to attack an island? In those days, remember, there was no airplanes to fly overhead, no long-range missiles or anything like that. Basically, you had an army on horses, but they couldn't get across that half-mile stretch of water between the mainland and them. So they thought, hey, we're sitting pretty here. And all the other islands in the area, and there are a number of small islands in the area, said, we're good too. And then when Tyre, the island, goes down, they said, uh-oh, we've got problems. Did God keep his word? Did God fulfill these promises? Well, let's take them one by one. Number one, did Nebuchadnezzar destroy Tyre? And the answer is, yes, he did. Jerusalem fell in 786 B.C. 785 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came against Tyre. It took him 13 years, but he persisted. And finally, the city was destroyed. Guess what was left of it? Nothing but dust. Exactly the way Scripture says. So we'll check that one off as a done deal. Many nations would come against Tyre. Well, the Babylonians were first. They were able to destroy the mainland city, but they could not get out to the island. So there were still people of Tyre left on the earth. Until Alexander the Great and the Greeks. By that time, the city of Tyre was rebuilt. Alexander comes along. He levels the city again. Guess what he does? He takes the stones and the timbers and everything else that made the city what it was and made a causeway to the island through the things in the sea. Number five, the debris would be thrown into the water. That's exactly what happened. Now Alexander can take his army out to the island, and the people on the island are going, we got problems here. And they tried to fight, and it took a while. But in the end, Alexander conquered the island. In the course of time, they kind of rebuilt things till the Muslims came along. in 1291 and destroyed the city again, which was one of the things that caused the Crusades. Now the Muslims are in control of places in the Holy Land, and they're trying to get it all back. But nonetheless, many nations would come against Tyre, and we have at least three coming against it. So that's a check mark. Would the city become flat like the top of a rock? And the answer is yes, it did. Alexander scraped the old site of Tyre clean when he made the causeway and left out to the island and left literally a bare rock. Literally. Fishermen would spread their nets over the site. Numerous mentions have been made, and some by secular observers, concerning the spreading of the nets. One man writes, "Today hardly a single stone of the old Tyre remains intact. Tyre has become a place, quote unquote, to dry fish nets." Another woman passing by says she saw all these nets out there and wondered what it was. Did Alexander throw the debris in the water? Joseph Free said this, "Concerning the laying of the stones, the timber, and the dust in the midst of the water was specifically filled when Alexander's engineers built the causeway and used the remains of the ancient city, laying them in the midst of the water. Nina Nelson, in her Guide to Lebanon, writes, "The ruins of ancient Tyre are different from all the others. Any city that's destroyed, they can do archaeological digs. Remove the earth, hey, there's the city. Not Tyre. It's in the heart of the sea. Alexander took the stuff, threw it in the sea. It's not there." Check that one off. Never to be rebuilt again. Floyd Hamilton, in his book, The Basis of the Christian Faith, states, "It is also written that thou shalt be built no more. Other cities are destroyed by enemies, have been rebuilt. Jerusalem was destroyed many times, but always has risen again from the ruins. What reason was there for saying that the old Tyre might not be rebuilt? But 25 centuries ago, a Jew in exile over in Babylonia looked into the future at the command of God and wrote those words. The voice of God had spoken, and Tyre today stands as it has for 25 centuries, a bare rock, uninhabited by man. Today, anyone who wants to see the state of the old city can have it pointed out to him along the shore, but there is not a ruin to mark its spot. It has been scraped clean and never has been rebuilt." Now, what's really interesting about that is that there is a freshwater spring nearby. And no doubt it was in existence 25 centuries ago. An engineer found that it pumps out about 10 million gallons of water a day. A freshwater spring. That would be enough to supply a large modern city with free, clean water. And yet, there's no city there. Go figure. So the first half of that one is true, but the city was never to be found again. A better interpretation of the verse is that the seeking by men would be for the purpose of elevating Tyre to her former position of wealth and splendor. It is difficult to believe that the actual location of the city could be lost when it formerly occupied completely the island with walls built to the water's edge. You can see the island is still there. So you can figure out, well, the city had to be over here somewhere. That's easy. But you have nets spread about it. Well, where would the nets come from? Fishermen. Where would fishermen spread their nets? 25 miles away from their house. No, where they live. There's a small village of fishermen that live there, but the city has never regained its economic status that it had 25 centuries ago. It was destroyed in 1291 by the Muslims, and it died forever, never was rebuilt. Something grew up from the same site, but it was never more the ancient city of Tyre than it was the city of Seattle. All six or seven of those very specific prophecies were filled exactly to the detail as Ezekiel predicted. And remember, to this day, the prediction holds that it wouldn't be rebuilt. Mathematician Peter Stoner did some calculations about the probability of these six or seven predictions coming true. Would you like to take a stab at what the probability is?
One chance in more than 33.5 million.
That's funny.
That's not what Peter Stoner said. One chance in 75 million. Yeah, about double that one. And yet every single prophecy was fulfilled exactly the way it was stated. To the detail. Does God keep His word? Let's close with 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now those are things that were written at least 2,000 years ago. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Which is really interesting, because today we're denying creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby that world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is allowing time. He has a plan. I often hear people say, well, if the Lord tarries any longer, He's not tarrying. He's moving right along at His own pace. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. Those things that were written 2,000 years ago, they're going to be fulfilled. God keeps His word. We look around and we say, I don't know that this will ever happen to me. God keeps His word. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight with how awesome You are, how faithful You are, how understanding You are, how exact You are, how powerful You are, and how loving You are, that You're giving the world time to come to a place of repentance and yet how just you are. That in the end of time, as we know it, you will come and come in judgment for this world. Lord, help us to be mindful that you keep your word, and may we use the time by redeeming it for your glory and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To that end, we thank you for saving our souls and look forward to being used of you to reach others. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. Oh, okay. We will pray for Mary. We just pray for this lady that the peace of God would just fill her heart, that she might recognize there is an omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, loving God who will keep her. And that only things that are found in your will can ever come to her. And even with them, your grace will be sufficient. Lord, may she have peace beyond human ability and end up glorifying you in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.